this week on Foot Weekly.
Team of the Year leak gives us a sneak peek. Post-truth might be the word of 2016, but are we post-crash, pre-crash or mid-crash? 50 Shades of Andre Gray, tradable Team of the Week pack to come up trumps.
We warn of some dangerous Player of the Month investing.
As always, we talk through the Team of the Week, dynamite discards and our informed impression.
So it's 2017 and it's episode 16.
Yeah.
Not quite perfect, but we're almost there. And I'm here with Horace as always.
Hello.
And I'm Ben, and we've come with matching water bottles.
My favourite Christmas present was a brand new water bottle.
Yeah. Thanks.
I don't know. Evian. What,
they still say Wimbledon on them. It always...
They're sponsor, aren't they? It's all year round? Or is it really old?
Really? Maybe it runs out. I don't think water goes off, does it?
No. The bottles go out of date. If you see plastic bottles, they've got a use by date, and it's when the plastic starts to degrade.
Yeah, because obviously water doesn't go off, does it?
Yeah, and it's always like 4 years in advance, so.
But what is about to go off is, what a link, Team of the Year.
Yeah, that should be starting this coming Monday.
That'll be quite exciting. We think we have a leak.
Yeah, a guy...
No, that's not water related again.
We missed a chance for a pun there. Yeah. But yeah, a guy tweeted out a team, which was his entry for a competition to predict the FIFA Pro World 11. And people have picked up on the fact that he shared it before the competition, and he won the competition, so it must be that his prediction was correct, basically how we know. And it's...
although I think the whole thing is slightly a little bit hearsay, but the guy who's tweeted about it is fairly trustworthy.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, you can't believe this 100%, but it's pretty likely. And looking at the team,
it's pretty much what you would expect.
In fact, is it almost exactly what was last year's, I think?
I can't remember exactly last year, but it's more or less. It's starting from the keeper, it's Neuer, Sergio Ramos, Gerard Piqué, Thiago Silva, Marcelo, then midfield, Toni Kroos, Luka Modric, Andres Iniesta, and Messi, Ronaldo and Neymar as the forwards. So it's exactly what you'd expect, pretty much.
Yeah.
No Premier League players, because there never are.
Yeah, so there's been some speculation that maybe Premier League players, the top tier Premier League players, like who might have got in, their informs would go up. But so many people like will just be on the BBVA hype now, if you like.
Yeah, do you think... I guess...
Sorry, Santander. Don't want to get the branding wrong there.
Oh, yeah, true. It'll always be BBVA in my heart. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, it probably won't have that much of an impact on the teams that people actually use, because so few people are going to have these cards. Or do you just mean in terms of the trading? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking people making elite teams.
Okay, people making top-level teams. Yeah.
I think that was I'm sure that's get expensive.
Still all use Kante, though.
Yeah. Well, that is a good point. I mean, the Santander, Liga Santander, doesn't have very good midfielders in general. Like, it's in that kind of mold.
It lacks ultimate team midfielders, basically. Yeah, exactly. There's Luka Modric, who's a really good player this year in the game. This is. And outside of that, it kind of doesn't have that many... quick, all-round, box-to-box players who can kind of do everything, which is sort of what you need.
Yeah. So that's, it's not exactly like that. I don't know. It's a good... It's always nice, the Team of the Year, but I always find that I don't use that many players.
Yeah, I've never used the Team of the Year forward because it's always been Messi, Ronaldo, and one other. And they've always been stupidly expensive. I've used Sergio Ramos a couple of times when he's had one, and he's been an excellent defender, but his regular card is unbelievably good this year anyway.
Was it last year that David Luiz got in it?
I think it was last year.
So I used him and Thiago Silva for a while, and they were amazing. But yeah, I think it's interesting.
These cards are going to be ridiculously good, but it is just 11 of them. It's not like when you get the Team of the Season cards at the end of the year, and there are loads and loads of really much more budget players to try out, and it can be quite... interesting, and you can make some more unique teams around stronger players.
I think Neymar I may use. I've always been a huge fan. Like, he's just been really good for me on foot, because I like to use my wingers to dribble and skill, and that obviously isn't so effective this year, but I feel like with someone like Neymar, it's got to be effective. Also, his team of group stage is like 1.2 mil, so it might not be hugely expensive.
What, his Team of the Year card.
Yeah, it might not be too much more than that, but
yeah,
so it's possible.
That'd be interesting.
But yeah, the other thing to note is, in terms of the schedule, what you normally have is they release the defenders sort of first part of the week.
It tends to be sort of Monday, Tuesday defenders, Wednesday, Thursday midfielders, Friday, Saturday forwards.
I think, and then there's a day.
Something like that. Day, and I then there's a day or sometimes 2 days of all of them being available in packs right at the end.
So if yesterday you saved your Foot Champs rewards, if you played Foot Champs, that was a good move because you can open those next Sunday, and you'll have a chance of packing any of those Team of the Year players.
Yeah, you have a great chance. I'm sure you will all pack Team of the Year players.
Definitely. I mean, the other thing is you could also potentially open them, say, when the defenders are in packs, because obviously if you get Ronaldo and Messi, Neymar, you're going to be fairly happy anyway.
I don't know. I think if I packed Messi, Ronaldo or Neymar on the Monday of Team of the Year, having not waited, I would kick myself for the rest of the year.
Yeah, probably.
But I mean, there's an
argument
that
there's also this argument that the defenders are expensive on the Monday when they first come out, but they're actually not in previous years haven't been crazily expensive. Like Team of the Year, Thiago Silva was like 300k. I mean, I know that's still a significant amount, but he was 300k last year.
Yeah,
and maybe even in the year before as well. When
in the scale of the current market, that's not very much.
I mean, it is all of course completely down to luck, and as always with any kind of pack related thing, you can't really pick your opportunity. You just, if you want to do it, you do it, and if you don't,
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the defenders, their highest price until at least within the next couple of months will probably be on the days that they're first in packs, and then they'll go down slightly over the course of Team of the Year, and then rise come March or so by the time, because
they're quite rare that
some will just be sitting in people's clubs not being sold, kind of their price will go up. And also there's probably a bigger price difference between the Team of the Year defenders and their regular cards than say the Team of the Year forwards and their regular cards.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So I mean, there is maybe some advantage to opening packs on Monday, but as Ben says, it's all so unlikely you're actually gonna pack one that you might as well just open packs when you can.
But yeah, good luck if you smash those packs
over
that period. And I think the biggest thing probably to talk about really with Team of the Year, and the thing that is maybe more important to many of you, is what happens with the market, especially if you've got high value players or you've got a lot of coins and looking to build a team. It's kind of all a bit up in the air because we know Black Friday, a lot of people said there'd be a huge crash. But of course, when you think about it, the crash happened a week or two before.
Yeah, there was sort of a general slow slump in prices because everyone was getting worried about a potential crash. And then on Black Friday itself, there were SBCs and the crash had sort of already been priced into the market. And so prices for the higher value players actually rose a little bit.
Yeah, and I think also the really interesting thing about Team of the Year is that obviously there's a lot more coins in the market and people are able to afford the bigger players. You've also got to think that, unlike Black Friday, there's an incentive to rebuild your team around Team of the Year players. So there may be more movement of players, because unlike Black Friday, where people just had the coins and they were just going to go in and buy a big player, hoping that their price had gone down, and then they didn't, and then so the prices rose because everyone was buying. People are obviously looking to maybe sell players to put into those Team of the Year players. So there's bound to be a bit of...
There could be just more action in the market.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Black Friday, people were just buying players, and actually quite a lot of people had already bought the teams.
Yeah, that's true. Though I guess the number of people who are actually going to be using the Team of the Year players is minuscule in relation to the total FIFA community, and lots of people see Team of the Year as an opportunity to buy the kind of mid-range team that is what their budget allows for. And they want to wait for the best prices to buy that team.
Yeah, that's
true. So the question is when those people will build their teams. It's kind of, have people bought already, anticipating there won't be a crash and that the prices are just going to stay fairly steady? Or are a significant number of people holding on for Team of the Year to wait to see if the prices do drop or not? And this is a question that a guy who we follow on Twitter called @foot_economist has been thinking about. He's really quite good on like FIFA trading and just general FIFA market trends. And he seems to be coming down on the side of suggesting the general sentiment in the community is there won't be a crash. And so more people have pre-bought, which could actually just lead to quite a traditional market crash. Like the way he puts it, if no one has coins and has already bought when Team of the Year comes out, we might actually see the opposite of Black Friday, where market sentiment causes a traditional crash.
Exactly. And only maybe the top players will drop in price because those top players, the million plus players, people might start selling those or selling off the kind of higher. Those basically, I'm talking on Xbox, we're talking about legends who are the kind of players that people might sell to buy in some Team of the Year players.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not necessarily even a million plus, kind of six, 700K plus, because that's kind of your second tier of legends. It's not quite Hullet or people, but it's Bergkamp and his pals.
Yeah, but in saying that, actually, so I've noticed there has been a significant drop in prices over the Christmas period, especially of the sort of higher, slightly higher tier players.
Mm.
Maybe the sort of 300 to mil legends, maybe not even a mil, but a perfect example is Rui Costa, who I picked up recently for 570k, and he had been going for almost, well, about 700 to 800, well, actually, I think it was about 750, 760 for a bit before Christmas. Wow. So he's seen a really significant drop, and I think that may well encourage, as this is his lowest point, probably, or has been his lowest point, at least it was last night. I'm just looking now, and he's now 620k. But that means that people may be encouraged to buy just by seeing these players become more affordable.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting looking at the market over the last just couple of days. I think there's quite a lot of tension. A lot of people are very unsure about what's going to happen. I've not seen anyone definitively make any predictions because they don't want to end up with egg on their face.
Yeah.
We don't know what EA are going to do in terms of SBCs. You've got to assume there will be at least one big SBC during the week.
Possibly with very high rated players as well.
Possibly with very high rated players, exactly. And so it's almost as and when any big figure in the FIFA community makes a video talking about Team of the Year, a significant proportion of people take on board their advice and act on it almost immediately. And we've seen prices, or at least in some of the players I've been following, prices have been going up and down a lot more than they normally would.
Mm.
Kind of, you'll be checking a player one day and they'll have fallen 10-15k, and then you'll check later on that day and they'll be higher than they were at the start of the day.
It's almost that people are kind of thinking, oh no, there's gonna be a crash, like I've seen his price has gone down this much, and so they're selling him because they're worried.
Yeah.
Then on the other hand, you've got this thing that actually very few big YouTubers, which are the main influence on foot players, have actually brought out videos.
Yeah,
sort of saying there's gonna be a
crash. Matt HD Gamer did one yesterday,
and apparently that wasn't entirely conclusive. I didn't watch it, but
I watched it and he basically just sat on the fence on it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, those kind of things will mean that it's kind of leaving people to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And that's where it could be quite interesting, because previously, people,
when they're left to their own devices,
impact, yeah,
tend not to do that well.
And also, I mean, it could just mean that people do loads of different things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's loads of different things going on. Some people are selling, some people are buying now, and that should actually just slightly balance things out.
Yeah, I think if people are not taking, if there isn't any definitive guidance that a significant number of people are taking, you're probably more likely to see panicked actions, which is what can lead to a traditional crash if lots of people panic.
I see what you mean, yeah.
But
I was thinking that maybe the fact that people are kind of doing different things, like some
people, there may not
one form of guidance.
Yeah.
Some people are selling, some people are buying. Like, I've decided it's probably a decent time to buy someone like Rui Costa, so I sort of went for it. And other people might be looking at the market, looking at Footbin, which is increasing in popularity constantly, and thinking, oh, this player's actually the lowest they've been all game. I think I'm going
to
go for it.
Yeah, I think in terms of individual people's choices on when to buy players, you've just got to look at a player, look at your budget, and work out what you're happy to pay for them.
Yeah.
And accept that maybe you won't get them at exactly the lowest point they're going to be at.
Mm.
And that probably if you're going to hold on to any high value player over the course of a month or two, you're going to lose a bit of money on them just for tax, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So you just got to set yourself price points that are going to be your buy triggers on certain players and just go for them. Unless they're in free fall at that point.
Yeah. I mean, so it's interesting because I think a lot of people may be looking to get legends now, so it's probably worth covering. And we did that review last week. I've played with quite a lot of legends now. I played with Bergkamp since then, and I've played with Rui Costa now. And I have managed to sell them without making a loss, even with EA tax. So with legends, there is this kind of fluctuation that continually happens.
Yeah, the legend market is just there are so few of each one.
Exactly. So you really see changes in it. And I think as long as you're keeping a track of those legends, and then you're buying when you see them at their lowest, you're always kind of capable of getting, not losing out, basically not losing that significant amount of EA tax on a player of that value.
Yeah, definitely. When I bought and sold Suka, I think I had him for 2 weeks, and I ended up making about 30 or 40k after tax. So yeah, with the legends are kind of a bit unique as a market, but in terms of the high value non-informed players,
those are the ones that will see the real effects of...
Those are the ones that could be significantly affected by Team of the Year.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because obviously SBCs can help with those. So that may balance it out. So I don't know. I still feel like we're unlikely to see a massive crash. Also, there's so many coins in the game this year. When you think back to prices last year, you think to players this year, they should theoretically be costing more than they did last year.
Yeah, I think there are just so many more people will have a million or several million coins by this stage of the game than in any other iteration of Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
That we might just see that all these players are more expensive.
Yeah. I mean, I have double my coin total that I had in
this
the whole
stage
of
last year.
In the whole
of
last
year.
And I played, I've played more games so far, but I didn't not play many games last year, if that makes sense. So
yeah, you were still playing a lot of FIFA.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Team of the Year. Yeah. And in fact, in terms of packing stuff, are we ready to move on?
Let's move on, because we had the end of Footmas, and
it kind of went out with a bit of a whimper, though, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They just did a weird Copa del Rey SBC that was piss easy, and you got a premium gold jumbo or something. I can't remember. Like a fairly crappy pack for a really cheap SBC, and you've got to, I guess, give something for like the brand new players. But they could have done two parallel SBCs or something. There's no reason you can't do another one. But before that, we had all the SBCs that we saw, or almost exactly the same SBCs as we saw during Black Friday. The Team of the Week tradable, Team of the Week untradable, the Premier League, Calcio, all the big leagues, or Serie A, all the big league guaranteed card packs.
Yeah, which I didn't really do, but...
Yeah, and the slight difference was instead of one 82 plus rated player, you could get a double 81 plus rated player.
Which I was loving.
Yeah, I did a couple of those. I got Walker, which is quite nice
I got Chris Smalling, which was really good. And then also got quite a few 83 and 84s, which I used for the trade ball.
Yeah, exactly. So challenge. I quite like these SBCs, and if we see that as a recurring pattern with just slight variations at big market points throughout the year, I wouldn't be surprised if that does.
And it'll be interesting to see whether this means that 84s and 83s stay slightly higher than...
Yeah,
as people
now
realize
that it's happened
that it's a continual
twice,
thing.
They might not... Because a lot of people made an absolute killing by picking up 83s and 84s...
Just before.
In like through December, if you'd stocked up. Just in the days before.
And it's well worth, if Xabi Alonso, goes down to a K, I think it's kind of worth picking him up under a K, because... And maybe Thiago, they're two players who link, and
even if we
like
don't,
that.
Yeah, even if we don't see the exact same SBCs again,
it's
any
likely that those ratings will.
We know that any player rated 84 or even 83 will be useful for some SBCs at some point.
Yeah, especially as the rating system, as people may know, you can to get 85 overall rating, you could use quite a few 84s.
Yeah.
So 84 rated players, I think. May not. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see whether they see a significant drop.
I think they, because they sort of settled at about 5k each while the Team of the Week packs were available. Team of the Week SBC was available to do, and it was you're looking at about 5k for each 84 rated player, which is basically the price the market ended up setting for them. Obviously, some 84s like Smalling and Co were like higher than that because they're in demand for use in teams. But your base rate, base price for an 84 was 5k. I can't see them, or I've already seen, they're not maintaining that value. So they will drop, but it's a question of how far they drop.
But if they're dropping to discard, I mean...
if you ever see a discard 84,
you might as well buy it now.
But yeah, so the significant thing with the Team of the Week packs was we were both wondering how long to hold on to them, when to open them, what the best time in a week cycle is to open it.
And yesterday evening was pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, so the Team of the Week got announced, and when I first saw it, I was thinking, for one, there are only 12 gold informs, So yeah. Anyone that got a top 100 finish and gets the ultimate team of the week back, they're gonna get all the gold informs except for one this week, which is quite nice. But and there are only four at 81 or below. Yeah. So as well as six players, I think, at 86 or higher. And there are a couple in there who aren't going to be that expensive. I mean, they're pretty much Milner.
Yeah, they're pretty much all Premier League.
Yeah, it's almost all Premier League.
It's because of the winter break, obviously, the reason.
Yeah.
So they're all Premier League apart from two players who will be pretty much discard. But obviously, when you think about it, this was actually a great opportunity to open those packs.
Yeah, basically, your chance of getting a discard value gold was much lower than in almost any other team of the week we've seen.
Especially the week before.
Yeah, especially the previous week where obviously you had Pogba and Hazard, but there were a crapload of 81s.
And it's not just about the 81 factor, it's like they were bad players that nobody would want.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So this week, an 81 is, of course,
Andre Gray.
And the funny thing is that we were having a conversation about it, and I was sort of saying, maybe it is time to open up packs now, because we just assumed that we were going to be waiting a few weeks, because loads of people would be saving them, are bound to open them yesterday. So I sort of was looking at the team of the week on Footbin and saw the prices and was like, oh, maybe this is the week. There's not really many low-value players in there. And in fact, one below at discard, two below, I think, 30K, and the rest were all above 75.
Mm-hmm.
So that was looking pretty good. And I think I actually ended up persuading you in a way.
Yeah, I think I was probably leaning towards actually holding on to my packs. But then we kind of chatted about it. And yeah, I went for it, opened one and got Scott Sinclair. I can't say his name. And got Scott Sinclair from Celtic. And I looked at his price, he's going for about 25K. So I just listed him up straight away. Mm. And then you opened one.
Because obviously you'd think he's going to be discard, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly. You assume he's going to be discard.
So I opened one, and I was saying before, like, I'm so good at getting 81 rated players, bound to pack Andre Gray, and I did get Andre Gray. And I was pretty happy about that, because I was kind of not sure, because I was having to do it on my mobile. I wasn't really sure whether I was going to do it.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I missed the chance. But yeah, I went for it, and I was pretty happy about that, because he was up at sort of 110K or something.
Yeah, so you just listed him straight away.
Listed
him
straight away as well. And then I opened another one.
You did your second, yeah.
And got Dele Alli, so it was another 75K.
Not bad.
So that meant that I think because I did some of those 81 plus guaranteed player packs and sniped some players, it meant that I think I did both the challenges for about 40-45K each. So that's a total of around 90K. And then so it basically meant that I made sort of like 80K profit on it, which was pretty happy.
Yeah, not bad. Then I opened my second team of the week pack.
And took about a bit of a difficult week for me overall, which
doesn't really matter. Yeah, compounded Ben's crappy luck by me picking up Willian, which some people may have seen me tweeted it out, who at that point was going for about 370K.
Mm.
So that's my most valuable tradable packed item this year. He's way below that now, but I listed him up straight away, and I sold him for 369 in the end, so minus tax, it's whatever, it's still well over 300K. But then we noticed something quite weird. So this all happened about 7:30.
Yeah.
And then about half an hour later, 45 minutes later, we're looking at prices and they'd all shot up.
Mm.
Not Willian, like the top level, top rated players, or most valuable players in the team of the week, Lukaku and Willian. They had just steadily declined, as you would expect from Team of the Week players. But I guess what must have happened is loads and loads and loads of people had the thinking we did, opened their Team of the Week packs, listed up the players, because the classic behaviour of Team of the Week players is to just steadily lose value over the course of the week, their own packs, particularly over the first evening. But because so many people had done that, there was an initial influx of all the lower rated cards, their prices shot down, and then suddenly people weren't opening all these Team of the Week packs, and the influx of the cards onto the market decreased.
And they shot up.
And they suddenly went
massively
up.
Almost double many of them.
Yeah, well, Andre Gray, I saw it. So you listed yours for about 110.
Yeah.
And he was at one point, I saw a screenshot of someone who had sold one for 240K.
Yeah, so it must have been a really rated brief card. Peak that it went up to.
And then by sort of 10 or 11...
Hours,
yeah, this was over literally a couple of hours. By 10 or 11 p.m., he was down at about 80.
Yeah, and then you have weekend league rewards relatively early, so...
Yeah, yeah.
They obviously sort of destroyed the prices. But you've also got the fact that, I mean, now, Andre Gray's, he's down at like 80k or something.
Yeah. So it's crazy. I mean, he looks like a really nice card, but we'll get onto that in a team of the week review. But it was just really interesting to see how this tiny 2 or 3 hour period, you had such a fluctuation in prices.
I think some players who got elite team of the week packs had actually waited to open them this week as well, because I saw that on the forums.
Interesting.
So, not being elite players ourselves, we didn't have any time.
So close over Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up a little way away.
Yeah. You were psychologically close.
I was psychologically close. Let it slip in the last five games.
And so as we were saying, the those premium team of the week packs will have had an effect as well. And because they would have, as we were saying, packed all but one of the players.
Yeah, exactly. But it is something to bear in mind. And I think there's a chance that EA deliberately put in a team of the week with a lot of relatively high value players. So just a team of the week with a lot less crap than usual in order to flush out a lot of these team of the week packs from people's accounts. Maybe. Because I'm sure a lot of people will have hoarded them, and they would have seen this team of the week with a much higher average value than usual across the golds and thought, fuck it, I'll go for it, as we did. So it's possible that frees them up to have more team of the weeks in future with higher value players.
Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's like a little bit of a similar thing happens next Wednesday as well, or not. Whether enough people have held on to the packs and what the team of the week is like.
The really interesting thing is, of course, that these players will ultimately be unbelievably cheap. And you wonder why anyone was buying at those kind of prices. Because if you think about the fact that next week will be team of the defenders in packs, and this team of the week will still be in packs.
Yeah, exactly. So, they're going to overlap with team of the year, so they're going to, other than probably Willian and Lukaku, they're going to be cheap.
And that's good, because I'm looking at getting him for Bane, so
yeah.
I need them to drop significantly, because I'm not paying 110k for
a left back.
Left back, yeah. That's pretty much what's gone on over the last couple of weeks, I think. Apart from, quickly, I had an absolute shocker over the last week.
Your week has been a bit of a nightmare from a foot point of view.
So should we talk about Foot Champs? Because obviously...
Yeah, there's been 2 weeks.
And we've now... Yeah, it's been 2 weeks and we finished
December.
Finished December, yeah.
So, yeah, over Christmas, I played all my games for only like the second time this month and got my closest ever to an elite finish, but I didn't make it. I got to 20 wins with 9 games to go, so I had to win all of them. I think I won my first 4, then lost 1, so the elite dream was gone. I got to gold 1, then with 2 games to go, and won 1, lost 1, so I ended up on 26. So I wasn't that close in the end, but my head went once I lost 1.
Yeah, the last 9. That does make such a difference.
And then over this past weekend, I was only able to play 5 games. Of which I won 4, which is nice. But it meant
great
I was,
record, but
80% win rate.
Yeah,
come at me. That meant I was I needed 22 wins from my last weekend to get elite for the month, which would have been really nice. But I was just away most of the weekend, so I didn't really play.
Yeah, that was actually really unfortunate because you would have no doubt got that. So normally we're kind of averaging like 25 wins. No, not 25 wins. It's probably a bit higher than really. Although if you play all of them, I don't know. But mate, we're getting, you know, 24 wins, minimum probably 23 is the lowest I'd get if I play every game, pretty much. Bear in mind, I have quite bad connection problems, which is one of the reasons. Like, basically, I'll never get elite unless my connection fixes itself. Yeah. So it's
come
pretty
on,
frustrating.
BT.
Yeah. I am in line to be upgraded to fiber, but that doesn't really look like it's going to happen anytime soon. But it's coming. It's coming, they tell me. But yeah, so I had this absolute mare where I basically wanted to get loads of games played before sort of Saturday afternoon, and I sort of went through all these games so quickly in the knowledge that if I got 24, it would put me on elite for the month.
Yeah, so this was this past weekend.
And like I was just playing through terrible connection. I was playing through like being basically tired and disillusioned with my play style. I wasn't really happy with the team I was playing with, but felt like I couldn't change it up because I needed to finish off the games because I couldn't play so much afterwards. And yeah, basically I ended for the month on 110 wins. And some of you may know that 112 is the requirement for elites. So it was pretty horrible. And yeah, I mean, it's 8 inform items from the past month.
Fewer.
Fewer than I would have got if I'd won just 2 more games. And it's really annoying because in one of the weeks this month, I only got 18 wins or something like that. So like if I'd played, because I didn't play all my games, so if I played all my games, I would have definitely got it. And it was the same for you, I suppose.
Yeah, I had several weeks. I only had only one week where I played all 40 and a couple where I played kind of 38, 39.
Mm.
But I had one where I only played 5 and one where I only played like 25 games, something like that. So I was a little way off in the end. And yeah, it's frustrating because on both of our win rates for the month, we should have got it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just about having time to play the games. And
I suppose that's why they reduced the requirements for this month. So there were 5 weekends and they reduced the requirements because I guess they realised that over that period, you're probably less likely to play so many games. And that's why they made
exactly. So because we covered this a few weeks ago, but this was a 5-weekend month and all the months, or the 2 months before, had been 4-weekend months. And in the 4-weekend months, you needed an average of 16 wins a week to get gold for the month and 24 to get elite for the month. Whereas in December, it was 14 and 22, respectively. And I guess that they didn't increase it proportionally to the amount of games available to play, just because it's so another 40 games. It's another whole weekend.
So that was quite interesting and also very unfortunate. And it was pretty annoying to play that many games as well. Like, it was horrible and I'm never doing it again. But I'm just definitely going to go for quality over quantity in future. But the other really frustrating thing was happened that I sort of came to, having been able to play just a few games on Sunday evening, I think I played my last couple of games in Foot Champions in a season's game, and it was honestly like a horrible time. I don't know why. I obviously just hadn't got back into it, and I mean I did all right actually, but there was just this one particular game where I was 2-0 down. The guy scores possibly the sort of most bullshit goal you'll ever see. It was ridiculous. Like the ball bouncing off loads of defenders, off the goalkeeper, and then it just falling to his Griezmann on the line to tap it home.
Yeah, you showed it to me. It's pretty disgusting.
But the worst thing about it was he runs all the way to the halfway line, shushing afterwards. He's 3-0 up at this point. It's like 60 or 70 minutes in, and then he dabs, and it just absolutely the worst. And then the following evening, I managed to list up Suka by accidentally pressing list rather than compare price for 100k less than he's worth. So, yeah, just loving it.
Yeah, all the good fit things.
But, I mean, my luck's bound to change, right? Team of the year, Ronaldo?
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Just open one regular gold pack. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that all over Twitter sometime next week.
Yeah, minor Twitter celebrity if that happens. So that's the end of part one, and we've got a cracking part two for you. Well, I'm assuming we do. We haven't recorded it yet. And so we're going to join you in just a moment to talk about Player of the Month, Ibrahimovic, and Team of the Week, and Dynamite Discards, and Informed Impressions.
See you then.
Well, lovely break. We're back again. And we're going to start off quickly with Ibrahimovic potentially being Player of the Month.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of confirmed him at the end of the last section, and you said we're going to talk about Player of the Month, Ibrahimovic.
Good point.
So
we better do that.
That's all definite now. But yeah, it does seem pretty likely that it's going to be him. Certainly the market and the community think it's going to be him. If you look at the prices of pretty much any Swedish player, they've gone up dramatically in the last, I mean, sort of since late December. If you look at Emil Forsberg, the RB Leipzig player, his second in form, the centre attacking mid card that's 84 rated, which is, I mean, his two in forms are the only gold Swedish in forms other than Ibra himself. And sort of, I think people remembering what happened with the Belgian in forms when Eden Hazard was Player of the Month have tried to buy him. And so he's just shot up to kind of around the top of his price range, which is about 85k. And he's just been there for the last day or so. I think he's dropped a little bit now. I think there was a particular spike yesterday because some big YouTubers were talking about it on Twitter. I really don't think they're going to put a Swedish inform requirement only one, and then there's only like 4 silvers. So they're just not going to do that.
I mean, they realised they made a mistake with the Belgian one, I think, because that when Hazard was out, the Belgian players were going for.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Yannick Carrasco and the original Benteke in form, CAT4. They're both completely extinct still, pretty much. There are, I think there are a couple every now and again, but they were almost entirely wiped out by that SBC. And then they put in that 81 rated Belgian striker in the last team of the week during Hazard's Player of the Month thing. And he was briefly really expensive until people realised that to get the squad rating with him in the squad, you needed Courtois. And so Courtois then went extinct. So they kind of, they didn't necessarily manage the like viability of the Player of the Month challenge well enough with Hazard.
And then they did Costa and they did manage it well. And the requirements were obviously still tough and they were
the requirements
expensive.
Were high, but less specific.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was like 8 informs in one team. It's like, that's always going to cost quite a lot.
But there's almost...
But there are so many informs.
Yeah,
that like
the flexibility.
So I think they'll probably do something similar with Ibra. Mm. And a guy on Reddit we saw has put together 4 possible squads that he thinks might be done. It was on like a Serie A squad, a Premier League squad, sort of like a mixture of Ibra's past and his present, and then one just team with 11 informs, which I wouldn't be surprised if they do, if Ibra does get the player of the month. So it's interesting, EA have shown each month that they want to be unpredictable with these. Like, loads of people lost quite a lot of coins on Chelsea players for the Costa or Hazard. I can't remember which.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But either way, like, it's a hard one to predict. Just high-rated players will almost certainly be involved, is what you can say, and informs.
Yeah. So that's that kind of sorted. I think we're going to move on to Team of the Week and Dynamite Dissards. But before we do, a social aspect which we'd like you to be involved in is we're going to probably change Dynamite Discards because we don't play with that many Dynamite Discards. We don't play with many discards, to be honest.
Yeah, I've used a couple every couple of weeks, maybe, kind of just to fill out a position in the squad where I need chemistry.
Yeah, probably in like my rotation team or whatever every now and then. But so what we're thinking is we'd like to change that feature. We'd like your suggestions. So while you're listening, as we know there are lots of you that don't follow us on Twitter but listen, go to our Twitter if you can, give us a follow at @footweeklypod, and tweet us what you'd like us to change it to. We're thinking maybe we could just do it, could just sit, literally be any we could review any player that's not on inform.
That
could be anything from legends to 2k players or even
and we were sort of just thinking expanding it to slight kind of players who are not ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I mean, or we could just move on from the informed impressions and Dynamite Discords and just each of us bring our own review each week.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different options. And if you've got your own idea of what we could do, tweet us at @footweeklypod. And if you don't have Twitter, if you're listening on your phone, get out your emails, send us an email, footweekly@mail.com.
Yeah, all our contact details are on the WordPress site as well, if you search for footweekly.wordpress.com.
And you can also comment on this on the WordPress site. So if you're listening on the WordPress site, just leave a comment below. So we'd love to get some input from you if possible. We know many of you do contact us on social media and we enjoy it. So if you haven't yet, do so.
And on to the team of the week. We've got 2 because we were away last week.
Yeah.
So should we start with the latest one?
Yeah, do you want to run through
that? Yeah, I'll run us through it. Well, we kind of covered it earlier. It's an interesting one that you've got quite a high number of higher rated players. You've got Kane, Fabregas, Willian, Schmeichel and Lukaku all above 86. Also Leighton Baines at 85. Dele Alli, quite a nice looking card. Kieran Trippier, not the English Spurs right back that people potentially would want to see, but obviously Walker wasn't playing over the weekend. Andre Gray, another one to pick up on, 81 rated striker, but with ridiculous physicals and very, very, very high pace.
Something like crazily high rated with sniper, I think.
Yeah, I think his in-game position rating at striker, if you use the sniper chem style, is like 90. A couple of crappy discards in Castro and Sinclair.
Sinclair doesn't look that bad.
But yeah, no, he's not a crappy discard.
He's a
cheap player.
Yeah.
One other player maybe to give a shout out to, Phillips, the West Brom right mid.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some very nice all-round stats, 90 pace, 75 physical, 80 dribbling. but he does only have 3-star skills.
Mm.
So, yeah, Ben, who do you want to... Should we just have a look at one player each from this team of the week? It's a bit uninspiring overall, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I think, to be honest, the player that I'm, as I said, I'm going to probably pick up will be Baines. So, yeah, I think Baines is one of those players that I wouldn't really be trying if it wasn't for the fact that this year, obviously, chemistry is slightly different in that...
We know what chemistry styles do.
So I know that if I put Shadow on him, he'll get, rather than the 77 pace on card, he'll be getting 93 acceleration and 87 sprint speed, which is very solid. I mean, that's good enough for me, especially when you look at his defending stats, because if you put Shadow on him, he gets 94 interceptions, 87 heading accuracy, not really necessary, but 99 marking, 99 stand tackle, and 99 sliding tackle. So he's kind of pretty much maxed out on defending apart from interceptions. And apart from that, he's actually got really good short passing, 86 crazy, 96 crossing. He's a good left foot option for free kicks, 87 free kick accuracy, 86 curve, especially on corners, whereas a lot of teams I make have a lot of right footers. That helps. Decent agility, solid dribbling, and like a decent long shot on him. So I think he looks really well-rounded. And on that left-back position, you can argue that Shaw's still better, but if you want a bit of quality on the ball, if you like to get forward with your left back, then I think Baines could be the best option. And he's also the highest rated left back in, apart from Milner, in the Premier League.
Hmm. Nice. Well, yeah, I think the player I might have a look at is Harry Kane. It's his second in form, and it kind of pains me to do it because I'm an Arsenal fan. But this guy does look really, really good. He's 6'2", he's strong, he's got... Something that I've been always looking out for this year since we found out what chem styles do is he's got a higher sprint speed than acceleration, because the chem styles that boost pace always boost acceleration by 5 points more than they boost sprint speed.
Mm.
So if you want to kind of balance out a player's pace, you want someone with sprint speed 5 points higher than their acceleration. For Harry Kane, it's a bit too much. His sprint speed is 80 and his acceleration 71. But that means that you're not going to get stat wastage on his acceleration, which is quite useful. His shooting on card, he's going to be excellent at finishing anything in the box. He's got 91 positioning, 94 finishing, 91 shot power, 91 heading, and 91 reactions. So he's going to be an excellent poacher in and around the box. But he's also going to be quite agile, up at 80 agility, with excellent ball control and decent dribbling. This is all without a chem style. And he's going to be very good for link-up play with 85 short passing and 82 vision. So I think he's kind of... I saw a few people comparing his card stats to Ibra's non-inform. Mm. Obviously, Harry Kane doesn't have the 4-star skills or the 4-star weak foot. He's only got 3 on both. But I could imagine, particularly with the Team of the Year influence, this card being a bit cheaper than it probably should be.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
And definitely if you're a fan of target men or even maybe a false nine.
He's got good. Though, on the ball stats, isn't it?
Yeah, the lack of skills would probably hurt you there.
Yeah.
I think he's one to look out for. And when it comes to team of the season, his card's going to be very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the team of the week from 2 weeks ago, because that was quite a nice one.
Yeah,
it was very nice. There are a lot more kind of trash cards in it. You had Pinto, the Portuguese centre-back, like Benedeschi.
54 pace on that.
Kieran Westwood, Plattenhardt, Müller, Jimmy Briand, and a Polish striker. So he had a whole load of pretty rubbish cards. But he also had Eden Hazard, 91 striker, Pogba, 90, Silva, Thiago Silva, 90 at centre-back, Icardi, his third in form, Alexandre Lacazette, and also Thiago, the Bayern midfielder, Winston Reid from the Premier League.
And Schneider looked pretty solid.
And a second in form for Omar Al-Soma,
who I think I'll jump straight in to talking about now, because some of you may know that I really enjoyed his first in form. I used him quite a lot and he was really good. I moved away from him because you can only link him, the only strong link you can get into him really is Fetfatsidis. Fetfatsidis is pretty suspect.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He was very good, but it just wasn't worth it without having to use that kind of team. But this card, I mean, it's tempting me to bring him back again. I might, you know, use him as a super sub. If you put Marksman on him, he gets... Well, first of all, he's got really solid pace on the card. 83 acceleration, 79 sprint speed, so that's just standard. But with Marksman, he gets... Basically, his on-the-ball stats become really solid. So 87 agility, 89, 89 ball control and 85 dribbling. And this is on a guy who's got 94 strength, 90 jumping, 90 heading accuracy, sort of mid-80s short passing, so is a really good target man. But he absolutely excels in long shots and finishing, and has 99 shot power and 99 long shots.
Ooh, wow.
He's got 91 finishing, which will definitely do the job. He's 4-star weak foot, 4-star skills. So, you know, the I guess that what people have always said is him being the sort of Syrian Ibra, and there's no doubt for me that those stats suggest that he should play pretty similar to Ibrahimovic, when you consider that Ibrahimovic has considerably less pace, but he's probably slightly better on the ball. Well, he's better on the ball.
Nice. And with a player that I've bought and really want to talk about and really, really want to try out, but haven't yet put into a team, is Thiago.
I've actually tried him.
Have you tried him?
Yeah.
Well, Ben wants to maybe take this one off my hands.
No, go
okay,
ahead.
Cool. I'll do a quick pre-use review, and then Ben can just corroborate everything I say.
Yeah.
So I've used his regular card extensively and love him. Like, he's really, really solid midfielder. Yeah, excellent going forward. His finishing has always felt better than it probably should, given his stats. But this card, I was looking at him and thought, the pace on his regular card, he always feels fairly quick, because in spite of what I was just saying about chemistry styles, where you want to have higher sprint speed than acceleration, over short distances, acceleration is the stat that you're going to notice. So if you're not boosting a player's stats, it can be quite nice to
especially
have higher acceleration.
Especially attacking midfielders.
Yeah, exactly. Because what you need is you need just to burst past someone to get a shot away or play a pass. And so he's got only 74 pace on card, but that equates to 79 acceleration, 69 sprint speed. So he feels over short distances much quicker. And if you combine that with his agility of 92, 86 balance, and with the Maestro chem style, 94 ball control and 99 dribbling, he's going to feel excellent on the ball. Creator, he'll have 93 vision, 99 short passing, 92 long passing. And something that was probably his weakest attacking attribute on his regular card, his shooting, has been boosted really significantly for this card. So with the not insignificant boosts from Maestro as well, he ends up with 97 long shots, 91 shot power, also 99 volleys, 92 positioning, and a workable 79 finishing. So I think with Maestro, he could be very good. Though, Ben, if you've used him,
well,
what setup did you have him in?
I have used him, and I was trying to get him in a team with David Villa. My urge to get David Villa into a team has led to me putting him in CDM and swapping him in game, because I was trying Thiago as a wide cam with Legend and sort of central cam, so it wasn't really going to work properly, to be honest, because Thiago is not really suited to that wide cam position. I had him on Hunter, and yeah, his dribbling was phenomenal, his passing was phenomenal even without a boost, his shooting was was fairly solid, and his pace did feel just about usable in a wide position, but it was just such a waste of him basically. So I decided to sort of keep him in my club, having bought him for about 50k. I just thought I'll keep him around and definitely look to use him again, because he was really fun to use.
Yeah, no, he does look like a very nice card, and pretty good value at 53, 54k for on Xbox. That is, he's quite a lot more on PlayStation, but for pretty much the best centre attacking mid in the Bundesliga, and certainly one of the best 5-star skill ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, up against Maxim. In that league, that's not too bad. And I think, unless there's anyone else you're desperate to talk about, that could
round us up on the team
of the week.
Wraps us up. I mean, I think the rest of the team, I think Reed is quite a good one.
Honourable shout out to Winston
Reed. Yeah, I mean, you know what he's about, you know who he is.
I've not used him, but I've come up against him and he's been a nightmare.
Yeah. He's like a bit of a mini Chris.
Yeah.
This morning, that is.
Just we've got a Kiwi mate called Chris.
Yeah.
Who's like really tall.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Something to note on him is he has excellent reactions, which is one of my favourite in-game stats, because people don't think about it too much, but it can make a huge, huge difference to how responsive players feel.
Yeah, and when you've got a defender in the box, that helps a lot. And it's actually true to life. If you watch him in games, he's pretty hot to clear the ball and get to it.
And it's particularly useful on defenders, because it reactions and interceptions are two stats that affect heavily how well players defend when you're not controlling them. And so that's why it's something like why Kante makes loads of interceptions when you're not controlling him, because his positioning and his reactions are so good.
Exactly. So that is
that wraps us up.
And I think he'd be a good one to pick up if anyone thinks they're going to use him, because he'll only rise, I reckon. In fact, he's already has, hasn't he? Yeah. Last week, but yeah. So I think that's a wrap on the team of the weeks that we hadn't covered. And next week we'll have the team of the year to talk about and another team of the week. But we'll move straight on to Informed Impressions.
Yeah, which is a player this week who we've both used quite a lot. We picked him out in the team of the week when it came up because we both thought he looked very, very nice. And he is the Portuguese CAM, though you can use him anywhere really through the central midfield positions, Manuel Fernandes.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really well-rounded player. Well, phenomenally well-rounded. He's got very solid defending, 73 on the card. And then his attacking balance is very good because he's got 84 passing, which is kind of what you want. 86 dribbling, which is, again, really, really good for a centre mid. And 80 shooting as well. Where have you kind of played him?
So I've actually used him in all sorts of positions. I think I had him as a CDM in a 4-2-3-1.
Mm-hmm.
I had him as a CM in a 4-4-1-1. And had him as a centre forward in a false nine.
He was
all right. I put Deadeye on him because that gives a 15 point boost to finishing, which you definitely need if you've got him there, because his base finishing is only 75. But with Deadeye, he gets 90 finishing, 98 shot power, 91 long shots.
Mm.
Pretty solid. And he feels really good on the ball, strong.
Yeah, his height
is something that works against him, because I think he's potentially about the same height as Renato Sanchez, but he feels so much smaller.
Yeah, he's not like
because he doesn't have the stacked, big player model.
But he's still got kind of 73 strength, so I think he doesn't suffer when players are trying to barge him off the ball. He's quite strong on the ball, but he doesn't quite have that. And also with I've been playing on basic, and that gives him plus. I think he's got like 78 strength.
Nice boost. Yeah.
But I think the thing is, he has very nice, like when you're dribbling with him, you feel really comfortable running from deep. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, definitely.
He's a really good like traveller with it, but you don't feel like you're sacrificing defensive capabilities because he's fairly solid when it comes to kind of tackling and putting in the work.
Yeah, I mean, I think the position that he's been most effective for me is the centre mid in a 4-4-1-1. I've got him alongside Renato Sanchez behind Danny, also in the Russian league, and it's a really effective little midfield trio. And he does just feel very, very solid. His passing stats are really, really effective. Like he kind of
really good. Yeah.
Depending which chem style you have, you can pretty much max out his short and long passing. Not much more.
Do you have any particular weakness that you found with him?
I sort of touched on it before, and it's his height. What was yours?
I was going to say his stamina.
Oh god, yeah, no, stamina, stamina. That is, yeah, yeah. He does get tired.
But I think it's one of those things where you can kind of forgive him because he's a really classy player, so you don't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
It's a shame though, because towards the end of the game, you're not going to be able to make the kind of runs. If you've played him in somewhere like centre mid, he's not going to be able to make the same runs.
Yeah, definitely. His stamina, the only reason it didn't annoy me as much was because it gave me, it made my decision of who to sub off quite easy when I was making substitutions. Because sometimes I feel like, oh, if he's significantly more tired than my other midfield player, then it's easy to know who to switch out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I think overall he's a really good player and he's not expensive at sort of 24, 25k, even less on PS4, I think. He's really solid. So, I mean, he's more than solid. He's a great player and he's cheap and good. 4-star skills.
Yeah, 4-star skills, 4-star weak foot. They come off quite nicely.
Does the job.
If you're looking for a kind of slightly more attacking than defending, but still good at defending, central midfielder.
Yeah, I know exactly. Easier man. If you imagine one of that formation with the two CDMs and him as the CM in front.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of formation he's kind of perfect in. But I think you've got a player who is useful to know about because he links with Fernandes, doesn't he?
Yeah, so this is our kind of dynamite discard for this week is Danny, the Portuguese CAM in the Russian league. And if you're looking to link Manuel Fernandes into a squad, he's very useful because he's a strong link to him.
Mm.
And I used Danny as the centre forward in that 4-4-1-1 team.
Yeah.
And I used him with the engine chem style because basically I looked at his shooting stats and I mean, they're not terrible. And with the right chem style, you could definitely make them very usable. But I just decided I wanted to maximise his playmaking ability. And so with engine, he gets up to about 90 pace, slightly higher acceleration, excellent dribbling, 89 agility, 85 balance, 89 ball control, 95 dribbling. And really solid passing stats across the board. 89 vision, 92 short passing, 85 long passing. And he actually felt really, really good on the ball for me. And it was just that shooting that really let him down. He would miss a lot of, or he did miss a lot of one-on-ones. He didn't ever, I think, score a long shot for me, even though there are certain positions where if you just take on a long shot this year, it seems like almost any player can score them. So I think he probably could do with a shooting boost from whatever chem style you put on him.
Yeah.
Have you used him, Ben?
Yeah, so I've used him for like a fair bit as well with Fernandez. And I kind of agree with everything, although I was going to say his shooting was fairly good for me, but it's because I used Maestro. And got, I think you get, I was just looking at, you get 81 shot power, 83 long shots, 80 finishing, 83 positioning, so it's, and 78 volleys, so it's kind of solid.
Puts him really solid across the board, actually, yeah.
But like, it's nothing special. But he does have 83 acceleration and 83 sprint speed, which I think is kind of decent enough for a for sort of... I was actually playing him as a centre mid, but in the 4-1-4-1, so he was kind of a more advanced centre mid. And I felt that was kind of good enough. And obviously, it boosts his dribbling and passing quite nicely. So yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. He's really good. As a certainly as a discard player, he's
properly discard, really. He's less than a K, and he's 83 rated. So I mean,
yeah. So you can always cash him in for
yeah, exactly. Pick him up, and you can probably sell him on for a K or two next time those SBCs roll around.
Actually, it's a mark of how kind of good he is, because I had him and sort of didn't sell him because I wanted to keep him.
Yeah.
To use him in future. So
definitely.
Yeah, that's I think wraps us up for this week.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think we mentioned those 4-star skills.
Yeah, goes without saying. It's Portuguese cam.
If we're using an attacking player, generally they are 4-star skills. I think we'd probably say
yeah, we'd probably we point it out if they weren't.
So that's him. That's Informed Impressions. That's Team of the Week. And two Team of the Weeks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of chat. Thank you very much for watching. And before you go, if you're listening on YouTube, let us know that you're listening by commenting or liking or whatever you want to do, because we get quite a lot of people listening to this as a podcast, but not many on YouTube. And it's a bit of a faff to get out onto YouTube. So we are kind of thinking of maybe just using the YouTube channel to upload the odd video, maybe of us doing a bit of gameplay or something like that. So if you are really keen on the video staying, on the YouTube video staying, do let us know through YouTube and we'll keep doing it. If not,
yeah, we'll just keep it on iTunes. It's a bit easier.
Yeah, and it's been quite popular, so that makes a lot of sense for us.
Cool. Catch you next week.
Yeah, see you later. Bye.